Welcome to this inspiring message by Paul Van Essen at Greater Life Church. For more information about us, do visit our website www.greaterlife.org.uk.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
That's a good start then. Excellent. Well, I'm glad to be here. Well, it's good to have a holiday. I'm actually not very good at having holidays. And I think my wife is possibly worse, I'm not sure. She's got a motor, I discovered. Very hard to switch off. Very energetic. So I kind of, in the hot weather, I kind of, I get dopey. I find it very hard to be energetic in hot weather. So I go down to the beach and I'm just, Caroline's like, she's already done a couple of circuits of Nice. Went to Nice because it's hot there and there's a little flat, but very cost effective. And so I'm kind of just, you know, it's 29 degrees at night. That's why I left Australia, I'm thinking to myself. And I'm just dopey in the morning trying to find the coffee. And she's gone already. Oh, just for a bit of a run. How hot is it? 30. Let's go for a bit of a run around the coast. Over to the old, we're in the port side, so over on the, if you know Nice, but in the city, old city. Oh, and then along the promenade up to the Negresco Hotel or whatever it is, and then back again. She comes in, how you doing? Yeah, good. Ready for the beach? I said, don't you have an off switch? She's the original, remember the Duracell? Was it the Duracell bunny? So we'd go down to the beach. I'm thinking the beach is like you just chill. Oh, no. No. There's the 50-odd yards, metres out to the first pontoon, but you've got to do the circuit. You'd feel terrible if you didn't do the circuit. So it's out to the first pontoon, another 100 yards that way to the second one, or the buoy, then back in again, then over to that one. And I'm like, ugh. But we did slow down now and then, actually. We had a really good time. And that God was good to us. And we're glad to be back. It's good to have a holiday. And for some people, you've got to learn to have a holiday because your nature is to work. And then, of course, there are others amongst us that have to learn to work because your nature is to be on holiday all the time. But we're all grown. We're very glad. Let's just lift our hands to God and sing this refrain through a couple of times. It's just, I love your presence there. And turn your heart to Him. Oh no, do what you're doing. Yeah, do what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, it's fine. It's all good. Thank you, Lord. We don't really have to sing, really, just. Holy Spirit, we look to you. We're really thankful. We just want to refresh our love for you today. And I want to thank you that in the busyness of life that you come and visit us. Help us to use this month of August wisely to find rest in our souls. You're the shepherd, the good shepherd. And you lead us beside still waters and you restore our souls. And I ask you to help every one of us to find that place of rest, which isn't necessarily going away in this month, in this summer season. And we thank you, Lord, for your word and just ask that you would mightily speak to people's hearts today. Bless them, build them up, encourage them, help them, set them on the path that you ordained for them, a glorious path. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father. Amen. I want to welcome Liam and Emily here. Really glad they're here. They're planting a church in the other side of Staines, in Egham Hythe, I guess we'd call it, wouldn't we, in the Hythe Centre. And I think that kicks off in September. And they've been married about a year, so I said, oh, we're talking about that stuff. That should be fun. But we just want to. I'd really just like us to bless them and pray for them. And it's just exciting, you know. You're an answer to prayer. We pray And God's doing some interesting things in Staines. They come from a large church, I don't know, 1,000 people, something like that, called Kerith, which is out in Bracknell Way. And so, and that was not dissimilar to when I came. I was 36 when I first came here from Australia, and I came from a church of about 5,000. And that, so we were well resourced with people and finance, and different situations are different. But I know that these guys have, you know, proven themselves in their youth ministry with their pastor there, and they've got a heart to reach people and to do missional kind of stuff, and so we're really glad for that. So if you don't mind, would you mind if you just shot up here and we just blessed you and prayed for you? Would that be all right? I don't really know them. I've never met Emily before, but she seems all right to me. Carrie, would you come up as well? And we just want to say this, guys. We're you know, you've had great support. You've got a great vision, but we really believe that God's got something great for you.
Thank you.
And we want you to know that we're with you 100%. I know what church life is like. I've done this for a long time, and but we want to champion you as much as we can, and we will pray for you, and we're just thankful that you're a part of the community, and let's pray for them, shall we? Father, we just really want to thank you for Liam and Emily Parker. Father, we lift them up to your hand. What we want in our town, what we're praying for, what we're acting on with all our different churches here in this town, Lord, is to see your glory revealed,
yeah.
To see your name lifted up,
yeah.
To see your people transformed into all you want them to be,
yeah.
And to see the church of Jesus in all its different expressions become a mighty force,
yeah.
In this town. And so we bless these guys. Father, we just ask that you favor them. We ask that you give them wisdom and grace in relationships that they'll be building with people here. We pray, Father God, for their family, their future. And Lord, we ask that you would open, that you would open great doors for them, that you would roll out carpet for them, Father, that you would do them good, Lord God, that you would make them to be the man and the woman of God that you have destined them to be. We bless them today in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Touch your lives, Lord.
Thank you.
Bless you. No, pleasure. Good man. Bless you. Beautiful. It's good when people serve God, don't you think? God's servants are very precious people. God's people are very precious people, too. All right, we're good then. This is the weekly kind of dance David and I talk through together. How's that? All right. Thank you very much, Sam. That's great. So we're going to talk about this, huh? men, women, and agreement. This should be pretty amusing. And but I'm looking forward to it. We start. I spoke to you a couple of weeks ago, and I thought that I might get through all that information in like 1 week. I should know really after 30 something years. It usually takes a bit longer than I think. But it's been good. We had a chance to think. To pray, especially being over on a holiday, in a lot of ways my life's pretty busy, and so I don't want to I don't want to go on holiday and wind down. I actually get opportunity to kind of think and pray and do some reading and stuff more perhaps than I do in kind of regular life. So I've had a good time thinking through that, and I want us to pick up on this as a few different segments. Next week we'll close that. We'll just keep working with this until it settles down. But it'll be all right, I'm sure. There you go. Let's try that. So I want to talk about this. So this is important. Now, we introduced this topic. I spoke about fathers, mothers, sons, and daughters 3 weeks ago. And that was significant in terms of that spirit of sonship, daughtership and parenthood in the church, and that the church is a family, that the way church leadership, church government, if you like, should work is functioned as a family. That's God's building block through society. And so we talked about that podcast will be up, I think. And then a couple of weeks ago I spoke about, we entered into this kind of area on big keys to successful relationships, and I want to focus on this area today. We mentioned the other week that for you to have a happy life, which God would prefer for you to have, a joyful life, a successful life, a fruitful life as a Christian in the spiritual and the natural areas. For life to work at all, half decently, you have got to have healthy relationships. It just doesn't exist. Some poet, I forget who it was, who said, "No man is an island." But when people are isolated, when they don't connect with other people, whether they close off, whether they go and live by themselves, whether they like dogs more than people, whatever it is, there's something unhealthy in that. And there's often reasons for that. Often people have been hurt in relationships, sometimes abused. But what we've got to recognize is that the ability to build healthy and happy relationships is absolutely fundamental to life. And actually, if we're going to reach people for Jesus, now I know that's important to these guys as they set off on their church, and it should be central to every church, that we're here to touch the community. That if really, if you just want to have a good time, if you just want to be a Christian and be blessed and, you know, get the best house and the best car and a happy career and all that stuff, and you're not ever really going to actually step out of your comfort zone to try and reach somebody else for Jesus, well, to be honest, you'd be better off to go to heaven, really, because it's nicer there. You know, there's less pressure, the movies are better, and you won't be getting any more reward if all you're doing is sitting around trying to enjoy yourself. We're built for mission. Your function. Jesus said it this way. He said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me." And God's will for every one of us is to love people, touch people, heal people, release people, use our gifts to treasure people, to honor people, and to introduce them to Jesus in whatever way we can. Somebody say amen. I'm preaching better than you are amening so far. Okay. So from those points of view then, you could argue that there possibly isn't a more important topic to talk about than how to build relationships, because it's a skill. There's a lot of skills involved. We don't automatically learn. Some people may have defaults in their wiring that lend themselves more easily to build relationships, but in all cases, we have to learn. And so I want to talk about those things, and I want to remind you of these ground rules that we mentioned last week. And you may want to take some notes, either electronically or some of these things I think will help you today. There's three ground rules that you've got to understand when you're trying to build relationships in any case. So that's just, we're focusing a bit on husbands and wives or men and women today. But we're in this series, we're addressing all kinds, because you're going to have parents, you're going to have children, you're going to have friends, you're going to have siblings. Every one of those things, you're going to have workmates. They're all important. Here's rule number one. The ground rule number one is that all people are different, and one size does not fit all. So whilst you can learn some broad techniques, you can learn some, you know, we'll talk about some things of the way people tend to be. The reality is that, you know, whether you're a man or a female, the culture you were brought into, the socioeconomic situation you were brought into, the calling that God's got for your life, your personality, your wiring, your experiences, all those things. I mean, every single person is different. And so you need to understand that when you build in relationships. The second ground rule I want you to understand is that all people are very precious and mostly very fragile. People are wonderful. God's heart beats for people more than anything else by far. And it's a tragedy that parts of the church seem to almost think that man's sinfulness is more of an issue than God's love. You've just got it round completely the wrong way. God's love is so enormous for you that he dealt with all the sin issues, and he doesn't like really to think about it or focus on it. He actually tells you, you've got to learn to be not sin conscious. You've got to be righteous conscious. You've got to remember who you are, not what you were. And so that's very important. People are very precious. And the third ground rule of all relationships is to understand that the nature of relationship is that you can't control it. Kind of frustrating. But when you know that, it helps you. You just can't control other people. The only person you can control is yourself. And so understanding that principle, because it's very easy to go into a relationship, especially if you're in marriage or thinking about marriage or that kind of close, a covenant thing like that, even with kids and families, it's tempting, because it matters, to try and control people one way or other. And you just have to understand that you can't do that. And therefore, you need to find your security and your value, first of all, in what God thinks about you, not in the approval or disapproval of your partner. So building that is really very important. All right, let's talk about these three things today. Number one, rehash briefly, because we mentioned it, and Martin did such a good job talking about the power of decision-making recently, which he does on his numerous, you know, tough mothers, extra tougher mothers, and SAS training, and whatever else he does. But the first thing to remember, just as a rehash, is that it's decision, not feeling, that holds relationships together. We did a little thing, remember, decide, learn, practice, persist. It's kind of a variation on whatever it was, eat, sleep, rave, repeat. Remember that? Decide, learn, practice, persist. You can change. You're going to have to change. And you can, but the first thing you do is decide, I'm going to change. Then you learn the better way of doing things. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're just going to get more of what you always had. Learn something new. Then you practice it. You don't get it right the first time. And even when you've been practicing it for a few years, you'll still get it wrong. And as far as I can tell, after practicing it for many years, I still get it wrong, just on occasion. And then you persist. You stick at it. That's really important. The only thing that's going to hold marriage commitments alive together at the end of the day is a commitment. That's why there's so much power in actually getting married. You're bound to have run into some people along the way that have been partners, and I don't mean to criticize anybody at all. But, you know, they've been partners for 10 years or 15 years or 20, and sometimes they'll say things like, well, it's only a piece of paper, it doesn't make any difference. And actually, it makes an enormous difference. Because what you're doing in a covenant is you're promising. That's what marriage is. Marriage basically is I'm choosing you and nobody else, and I'm going to love you right to the end. And there's no outs. Now, of course, that people go through divorce, and I've been pretty close to all that kind of stuff, and I know how that works. And life throws things at you sometimes, and you can't control other people. And it takes two to tango. If both parties are not willing in their hearts to choose the other person, you can't get anywhere. No matter how much one person chooses to, or no matter how much one person prays, prayer is important, prayer is powerful. Prayer can change a lot of things. I'm a big believer. But prayer cannot manipulate the emotions of somebody else to the point where you can make them do what you want them to do. So there's always a risk, you see, in marriage. But when you go in, that's what it is. I'm committed to you. And you sign on this dotted line, and it's a covenant, and it's a promise. And that's why it makes such an enormous difference, because sooner or later, if you haven't discovered it yet, you're going to feel like you wish you were out of this thing. I remember Joyce Meyer talking about it. She's good on this topic. And she said, you know, the strange thing is most single people she deals with, single people, she said, they all want to be married. But most of the married people she deals with, she said, half of them want to be single again. There isn't a particular situation that's perfect. To look for something that is easy all the time or better for me all the time is pretty pervasive in our society, but it isn't healthy and it isn't helpful and it doesn't bring the best out of you. If you want to have anything of quality in your life, in any area, music, work, career, relationships, ministry, you have to make choices and go through things that are unpleasant on the way to getting there. There is no other way around it. So the real answer, you might as well learn this, the real answer is to learn to be positive about the challenges, because they're going to come.
Yep.
So you might as well get happy about it. Might as well, like Owen says, you might as well just believe God. That would be better. Might as well put a bit of trust in God. So decision, now, see, decision is a commitment. I'm committing myself. And it's a lot easier to live uncommitted than it is committed in any area of life. You know, if you're committed to a job, you're going to have to be there at 9 o'clock or 10 to 9 or half past 8, whatever it is. And if you don't feel like it that day, if you're committed, you're just going to have to be there. It's a lot easier not to be committed.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier committed, you know, well, I'll meet you at 3 o'clock. Well, you know, something came up at 2 o'clock and it's just easier to be committed. Let yourself off the hook. One of the things that'll help you the most in life is to learn to be committed to what you said. I try and be, and the Bible talks about it, but if you say something, do what you say. For two reasons. One is that if you don't, you train yourself to not trust your own words. And that's really not good for you. Because your words and what you say are very important to your world. I think actually Owen spoke about that, didn't he, last week? And did you have a good time last week, by the way? You did all right? This place rolls along fine without us, doesn't it? Because I was just thinking I should probably have another holiday next week. We did good last week, Mr. Owen.
Yeah.
I heard.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. You've got to learn to trust your own words. That's the first thing. The second thing is that according to Peter Daniels was a very significant businessman, one of the top few businessmen in Australia. When I was at Bible college, he came and spoke to us, and that was in the 80s. So I was young, very young student. And he's now a billionaire, I believe, and a very influential Christian businessman. And he's an expert on training people on efficiency and all that kind of stuff. So I was interested, and I've listened to him from time to time. One of the things he said the worst trait, the trait you want to get rid of the most in life is unreliability. When you say you're going to be there and you're not there. Or you say you're going to make that phone call and you don't do it. You're better not to say it. Because people will learn not to trust you and that will really damage relationships. So remember him, he was speaking more from a business point of view. But just being reliable, see those things. It's easier not to be committed. But commitment is where success is. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
All right, so I want to talk about men and women. We've got a couple of slides here, haven't we? Let's have a look at these. Just an introduction on some of the areas of men and women here. And this is in Genesis chapter 2. And I want you to see how God made men and women and how they're different. And we're going to talk about that. We probably might get into that really exciting word called submission. How many remember that one? Or when we were married in the old days, you know, back in when I was younger, and not the old days, so that was before then. And you know, the traditional phraseology in a marriage vow was love, honor, and obey. And it's based on this biblical concept. We'll talk about it in a minute, but here, that should be fun. But here we go. Let's have a look at this. The Lord God, man in the beginning, took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. God made him to work. God made him to take responsibility for an area and do physical work. That was his primary function. That is why you will have discovered, and social research discovers, if a man doesn't have work or can't get work, it's particularly debilitating. Woman's different. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he didn't take her out to work in the garden. He brought her to the man. So for a woman, and again, all kinds of educational, sociological training will tell you that for a woman, the area of relationship and connecting with the man and feeling close in terms of team is more important for her. And if that is not working well, the man might be working away busily and his career is going well, But if she doesn't feel closeness to him, that impacts her worse. So sometimes you counsel people, you know, and you say to them, how do you rate your marriage, you know, out of 10 right now? And it's not that unusual for the man to give a much higher rating than the woman, because his wiring is to be less, it's just less of an issue. It also feeds into how women and mums connect, and that's not preferring one or the other, and there's lots of things I'm not saying that maybe tradition has told you to hear. I'm not saying that men are better, different. I'm not saying that women can't have great careers, nothing like that. I'm not saying that fathers shouldn't be excellent parents. I'm just saying this is how that area of how mums connect so strongly with their kids, because it's relational. And so that's our nature. The nature of man is to provide, to protect, to work. And if he can't do it, he doesn't feel good. And it isn't always a spiritual issue. So this morning, for instance, unbeknownst to all these fine people here, the hot water system that we had installed a number of years ago has played up, and so we've had a plumber in and tried another plumber and whatever, and the boiler didn't work and something else didn't work. So we've had it all more or less repaired. The boiler's still not working, but there's another way you can make the water boil. You plug the power into the immersion thing, and we've got a big tank, so it has two immersion thingos. So, which is kind of like an element, really, in a kettle. And so we ran out of that. So there we are. I've got to organise that. I'm in my zone there. I'm up this morning. We got delayed a couple of times actually on our flight back, and ended up getting to bed about 3 o'clock on Saturday morning when we got here. So it's kind of thrown the system a little bit. So I wasn't feeling like it this morning at 7 o'clock when I turned the shower on and discovered that the hot water wasn't working, even though I'm sure I plugged it in last night. And so then I've got to find that one immersion didn't work. So I thought, oh, well, I'll try the other one. So that's a different one, and I put that in. And then that blew the socket straight away. So there's something wrong in there somewhere. So then I thought that might be the electrical board. So I went down there to check it out. That was all right. So then I had to change something else. And then I thought, now the provider, you know, I'm not thinking about myself here. I'm thinking about my wife, who's going to want to share. She's not going to be happy about this particularly. So I get the kettle from downstairs, the spare one that we've got now, bring it upstairs, boil some water, put it in the the bath is not that deep, right? You're in the, it's enough. I smell all right. It's okay. And then I refilled it, you see, at 7:15 or whatever it was, feeling pretty dopey. I refilled it again up to the right level and boiled it a second time. So when she wants it, it's just going to pop on. See, that's what men like, that provider thing. But of course, if the women come in there and start to say, now what's wrong with the plug there? What's wrong with the? Why don't you try plugging it in this way? Ever tried that? It never works very well with men. They just don't like that. They want to be the provider. Don't tell me how to fix the electrics. I know how to fix the electrics, and we'll bumble on. You know, we may or may not know, but it's part of our makeup to want to provide. And to want to fix things. It's Mr. Fix It. And because if you understand that, then as a wife, if your man is in Mr. Fix It zone, just let him do it. Then don't get involved. You don't need to do that. Smile, cuddle him, kiss him, tell him he's great. Those things work. But don't go into that zone. That doesn't work. Whereas for a woman, the whole area of relationship, as I mentioned, is the most important thing. Her wiring, her nature is to relate to men. That's because of the strong, and that's the same thing as I mentioned, strong bond with the children. And if she can't relate well, that's going to upset her. She's not going to be happy. So if you ever worked in restaurants or go to restaurants, you know, you ever seen that, you know, the girls' night out thing? Now, the guys get together in their own way, but if you work in a restaurant, which I've done, and other things, you'll find that it's about 5 to 1 at least of the number of a band of 4, 6, or 8 women that all get together having a meal together and chatting out together. You just don't see that with men in the same way. Because women are just better. And you got to be careful, because if we're not building as men that kind of environment at home that's relational, then they'll end up finding, and that's not to say that friendships aren't important, they are, but they can end up finding a level of support and relationship that really men, we have to make sure exists at home. Are you with me there? So let's move on to this little thing. A couple of pointers I want to add to you though. Every single couple, and I've done this for, I suppose, 30-something years, and talked to hundreds of people, all different kinds of situations. And this is the one, a couple of things I found. One is this: every single couple is different. So you have to find your own way through some stuff based on biblical wisdom, based on some parameters that actually are in place to bless your life. Don't forget that. We'll talk a bit about that. But every instruction of God is in place to bless your life. Hello. Are you with me? And so, but within that, every couple is different. What works for this couple doesn't work for that couple. The way he gets her coffee in the morning, or she does that, or whatever, it just varies. And there are just some things you're going to learn you have to work out for yourself. The other thing alongside that is to be part of a healthy community is enormously important. Such an important thing. Church is so important. Church is not just getting together for a couple of hours on Sunday morning or whatever it is. And getting prayed for, and all those things are great, but you've got to be in relationship with the community. It's a family. You learn, you know, one smart pastor, actually Gary Clark, who pastors Hillsong down here in London, I remember him talking about that, and he said, you know, if you, the best way to help people who are struggling relationally, they may be a little bit dysfunctional, so the best way to get healthy is just to hang around healthy people, and you just catch stuff. And you start to, and it starts to rub off the rough ends. And yeah, of course, it involves commitment. It does. It involves connecting. Far easier to not be committed, but that's where the health and the life lies. So we need to remember that as we come to this. And here's the other thing that's really important in all this, that when I was first married, you know, the husband, well, let's look at this, and we'll talk about it here. Let's have a look at this here. Men and women, now you'll know this bit. There's the word submitting right in the middle. But I've edited this topic. But I want you to read this a little bit differently, or really more contextually, okay? So I'm coming from Ephesians 5. The reference is 18 to 33. If you want to have a look at it in your own time at home and have a read, it would be really great for you. But on an edited version, here's Paul talking to the church. He says, guys, don't get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So there's the whole thing there about how when you're filled with the Spirit, there's a similarity to being drunk with wine. Are you with me? Yeah, it's me just here. Hello. There's a real similarity between being drunk with wine and being filled with the Spirit. Just an interesting little side thought. You see that in several places. So he's telling him how to live, and when you're filled with the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit, this is what will happen. You'll be singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You ever done that? You're at home, you know, and you're vacuuming or whatever, for those that vacuum, or you're cooking, you know, or you're fixing the mower or whatever you're doing. I love. You know that. It's just when you're in a good place, when the Holy Spirit's kind of brimming out of you, that's what happens. Singing and making melody in your heart. You give thanks. You just tend to give thanks. So on the one hand, you need to train yourself to just be a thankful person even when it's tough. But on the other hand, when you're filled with the Spirit, these things flow naturally through you. You just become more thankful. You worry. And look what's part of that whole conversation. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now that word submit there is hupotasso, which means to put yourself in subjection to. So that's where some versions, old versions, use the word obey. Obey and submit are not helpful words in our culture because they have an intonation, a meaning in the way we speak now that is not what the scripture meant. What it means is the better terms are to yield to or to flow with. That's what it means. To put yourself in, to say, yeah, your way,
Sure. Just flow along with you. When we use the word submit, automatically the connotation we get is someone being told what to do when they don't want to. That is not what this is talking about. So if we pull it, wind up and back again, let's go to the top. Don't get drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always, and submitting then there to one another out of reverence for Christ. Next verse, wives, submit or yield to or flow with your own husbands as to the Lord. That word hupotasso, traditionally submit, or what I want to present to you as better suggested yield, occurs, well actually only occurs once in the Greek, but it has two implications. The first is to one another and the second is wives. Did you see that? Submit to one another. In other words, yield to one another. Now, if you were to come to church this morning and Adoronke over here were to decide that she wanted to sit on the seat where Christabel's sitting, and she pulled out the scripture and said, well, listen, now the Bible says submit to one another. You need to submit to me here. That's the seat I want. That'd be pretty ridiculous, wouldn't it? But it's the same word as husbands and wives. It's equally ridiculous for the husband to say, oh, well, the Bible says submit. Therefore, it's the same thing. It's the same word. What it means is to yield to. And let me say it again, because one of the most important things you'll ever learn is God loves people and he knows people. Why did he make them differently? They actually complement one another, man and female. But he made them different to bring the best out of one another. And the advice he gives us here is to make it work well, the best. If you follow God's advice, men, you are far more likely to get exactly what you want from your wife than if you don't follow his advice. Women, if you follow his advice, you are far more likely to get exactly what you want than if you don't follow his advice. That's how it works. So submitting, see, flowing with, you've got to flow with one another. Just out of reverence for Jesus. Just with that attitude, reverential. And then, wives, yield or flow with your own husbands as to the Lord. Let's look at it here. Next verse, I'm repeating. Wives, yield to or flow with your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. So husbands, love, here we go, agape, there's four different words in Greek for love. That's the 1 Corinthians one. That's the completely selfless one. That's the love does not take into account a wrong suffered. Oh, they did me wrong, don't take that into account. Oh, they did me wrong again, don't take that into account again. Oh, they've done it for years. Don't take it into account. It doesn't even register. That's that kind of love. You'll notice that the wife isn't commanded to love the husband here. Well, I don't like the word command, but instructed. So love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So on the one hand, he's saying, wives, just yield. You know, he's the head. There is a different role. Notice, can I just throw some light on that word head, kephale it is. And what it means basically the chief, the head person. But the meaning of that is protection, provision, and empowerment. That's worth writing down if you're married or thinking about it. Protection. That's what the head does, protects, provides, empowers. It's like all good leadership. All good church leadership should be the same as all good government leadership. And good government exists primarily to protect the people and to empower the people. Remember that Braveheart, I don't know how many of you saw that down here in England, but anyway, it was popular in Australia for some reason. Remember the movie Braveheart? And Mel Collins, he's Braveheart, and he's talking about leadership. I don't know how my Scottish accent will work today, but he said, there is a difference between you and I. You think the people exist to give you position. And I say, my position exists to give the people freedom. And I go to see that they get it. But that's the enormous difference. And sometimes people in leadership don't have that perspective. And you don't always know straight away. But good leadership, good headship, good husband protects, provides, empowers, lays down his life, gives up himself. So now you're in a situation where a woman is saying, whatever you want, I'm just going to flow with you. And the husband is saying, I'm laying down my life. Whatever's best for you, that's what we're going to do. When you have that functioning, you're going to have a good time. So here's the last bit. Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects, here's an important one, reverences, venerates, honors, esteems, there are more. I limited it there. Her husband. Why is that there? Because that's what flicks the switches of men. Venerate, esteem. The amplified version goes on and on. Put on a pedestal, it means. But for the husband to love, to lay down your life, to cherish. This is how it works. What is most important, and this has nothing to do with your job or your career. You know, Margaret Thatcher had a very significant, strong leadership role in life. But then she also had a marriage life which functioned differently. If you wanted to get a really good Christian perspective on that at a deeper level, because Joyce Meyer went through a lot of that. She's a strong girl, Joyce. But she read the Bible and the whole, you know, she uses the word submission, but whatever, yield to. And for her, that challenge of yielding to her husband, who was a far milder personality, was a big challenge for her, big issue. And she had to work through it. She teaches on it very well. I want to say this to you because in the beginning, when I was younger and I learned all this stuff and I'm thinking, you know, the man's the head, the default thinking with me was, well, most men, most of the time, because I'm that alpha male kind of person, I'm just that kind of personality. But I thought, you know, well, that's what a man should be, right? Like the man should be like kind of more decisive, more stronger and more. And I've discovered it isn't like that at all. In fact, I was thinking about it carefully. And over the 30-something years of doing that with people, leading and pastoring people, I found that it's pretty much 50-50. That in about half the marriages I've dealt with, the woman has the stronger personality and the stronger drive. And in about half, the man has the strong personality and the stronger drive. And that's because that's not what the Bible is talking about. If you understand that what God is saying is, ladies, here's what men love. They love to be honored. They want to be the hero. If you want to get what you want, which isn't a bad thing, if you want him happy, honor him. Don't make him look bad. If you want to help him, and there's advice that you can give him, a good man will listen, but not in front of other people, especially his friends. And not with an attitude of you know better. It just doesn't work. Honor. It's just the way men are. But for women, it's being treasured. It's your my choice. The whole physical side, you know, women get older, as do men. And then more often women than men that worry about their shape and their looks and their wrinkles and all that kind of stuff. Very, very important that the husband's eyes are ever more on the wife, and you're the treasure, and you're the apple of my eye, and it doesn't matter whether you're older and heavier than you might have been 30 years ago when we first got married, because they're the issues that women face. But when you do that, when a man leads that way, sets that example, lays down his life, you can't make your wife do anything, but you've got the best chance of her happily flowing along and being submitted. And if you wives will happily flow along, be submitted, flow along, yield, sure, you've got the best chance. He'll just love that. He's like, wow. She thinks I'm pretty important. You're really good at that. You know when you dive in the water like that? Apparently I'm pretty good at swimming underwater. I just grew up in Australia, so I swam a lot. And I just like going down, I go about 10, 12 feet, 15 feet, and then I twirl around and look up and see the bubbles. And Caroline says, you know, you're really good at that. So then I say, you want to watch? I'm going to do a really good one now. Down like that. My very best effort. And it's just little things like that. It's little comments that make the thing shine. Come on, we got to close. We've had a good time, haven't we? Let me finish on this. And we'll pick up from here. We'll finish off next week. The power in your life, the greatest power that you can get is the power of agreement or unity. We'll kick off from there, but let's just end on this verse. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It's like precious oil. That's the anointing poured on the head. And that's where the Lord bestows his blessing. When you've joined together in a marriage, the first thing, if the devil can possibly stop your love for Jesus, that's what he'll do first in any person. But outside of that, the first thing that'll come against every married couple will be to try and get them to disagree. Because agreement or unity, same thing. That's where the power is. Jesus says, two or three agree, I'm there. Old Testament says, one can put 1,000 to flight, but two, 10,000. You've got 10 times as much effectiveness when two people are in agreement. Here, see pleasant, good and pleasant. You want to have a pleasant life? You want the anointing of God? The key, one of the great keys to the anointing of God is simply agreement. Learning to flow. Learning to yield. It's not my agenda. Believing this, understanding this, when God put people together, it's complementary. So look at it this way. On the tough days, when you feel like, why on earth did I marry this person? Remember that the tougher things in life bring out the best in you. Remember that. And never forget that God put people together. He does that. And it is a far greater blessing for your life to be together than to be single. Now, of course, we talk about single people as well. There's different. But I'm talking about people that are in marriage. You're better off together. Because the devil will come and he'll fire everything to try and get you to disagree. Which is why the spirit of yieldedness, learning, God, teach us to be agreeable. Teach us to be yielded. An insistence on my way, which is the voice of this generation in many respects in this world, especially in the West, where we can get so many things and we have so many things. An insistence on my way is a great way to make your life poverty-stricken. It might yield you finance or something or favor in the short term, but in the long term, the greatest amongst you, remember, is going to be your servant. Somebody who's made it their decision and their skill and their art and their lifestyle to serve the other person, to honor the other person, to learn what they want the best. If you can get there, we want to help you get there. You're going to have enormous blessing on your life. Let's close, shall we? Father, we're just thankful. We're thankful for your word. Thankful for opening our eyes to things. And I pray for every person and every relationship here.
Holy Spirit, you know all these people. You know everything they're going through. You know all the thoughts that they have, the challenges they face, and I pray that you visit them. I pray that you draw them near to you. I pray they find great encouragement in the truth of your word. And I pray for relationships. Sometimes some of them may be broken, may need restoration, may need strengthening. Lord, visit them, help them. Help your people to shine and flourish in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, yes.
Yes.
Praise God. Good to be here.